From Colossians chapter 3, 5 to 17. Here we go. Put to death, therefore, what belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May the Lord bless his word.
Roving mic thing. Right, well, we've been having a series on Colossians, and I've been given this incredible passage, huge. So if I don't cover something up, please meditate on it yourselves in your own prayer time and reading time. I'm just going to start off by reading from page 1167 in the Church Bibles, where Peter left off. Since then you have been raised with Christ, chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, what we're going to move on today is we're going to look at our personal walk with Christ. Not only our personal walk, but in relation to other Christians in a church situation, in a church family. And that's very important. The next reading will deal with the family life, husbands, wives, things like that. Okay? So, first thing I'd like to actually focus our minds on is, although obviously the historical context when we read scripture is very important, we also have to be aware of not just history, but also God's story and how it impacts our lives, our history. So hopefully this is going to work. Fun. No, it's supposed to be here. You don't know how big a relief that is. Plan B. Right. Colossae. Right. Now we're just going to take a quick journey. We're going to zoom up in our drone. There's a map of it a little bit higher up. That's the modern day Turkey. I'm going to go even higher. Higher. Asia Minor there. It's going to do my head in. There's a new battery in here too. The globe, Africa. We're going to move. It's going to spin. Now we can see Australia. I'm going to zoom back down. Australia. This doesn't seem to want to behave. They have new batteries in here. If Val could retrieve some batteries, maybe. Oh, okay. Right. I don't know what's happening. I might just have to get to give the nod to Matt. All right. Even closer, there we go, Margaret River. And finally, oh, that's our church. So although it's a letter, specific letter written at a specific time, inspired by the Holy Spirit to a specific group of people with specific teachings, we can draw its living, the living word, we can apply it to our lives now. All right? Doesn't mean we always take on the promises that are offered to people in the past. We have to be careful of that. But there are lessons to be applied in our lives today. And that's very important. So there might be some confusion over personal pronouns. I get that a lot, being an English teacher. Obviously, Colossians, them. But it's also us, isn't it? You and me. So we can interchange the advice given in the letters and apply it to our own lives. Roughly two parts of this. It's massive. Too big, really. Thank you. First part, put to death the old self. Chapter 3, 5 to 11 verses. And then the second part, put on the new self. And there's this sort of image, metaphor working here of putting on something like clothing. We dirty, we soil our clothing with our sin, and then we need to put that off, get rid of that, and to clothe ourselves in Christ's righteousness. One of the songs referred to that, being washed in the crimson blood, like laundered by Christ. Okay, first part, put to death the old self. And we go to our first reading. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And there we're invited to evaluate in a very sober way our sinful tendencies, my sinful tendencies, your sinful tendencies. Okay? And to self-consciously be very mindful about putting an end to them. Putting an end to our past practices, our past ways of doing things. Our minds are being renewed. We've been reborn in Christ. There then follows one of three lists. Each of them has five items, which was a sort of rhetorical device at the time, whether that's consciously done. And these are specific things for the church then. They're not exhaustive lists. They just catalogue the things that Paul wanted to speak into the people's lives in Colossae, and they could speak into our lives too. The first of these being sexual immorality. Then follows a couple more. Impurity, lust. And evil desires. Now, I'm not going to dwell on these ones today. We have received quite a lot of teaching from Michael on this, and it's something that we need to be aware of, especially when we misdirect our desire. More of that a bit later. Interestingly, we have greed here coming up, or covetousness. Greed or covetousness. It's in a kind of list about sexual sins. I think it needs a little bit of an explanation. We have to remember that the 10th commandment talks about this, and that we mustn't covet. Covet is just an old word to desire, to be consumed with desire for something. It's interesting, this link between sexual desire, sexual sins, and covetousness. If we misdirect our sensuality, and by misdirect I mean, it's very clear in the Bible, that the only godly context that we can actually express our sexuality to the full is in a Christian marriage, heterosexual, monogamous marriage that lasts, that is not terminated by anything other than death. That's the only context. And so we misdirect our sensuality. What we in effect are doing is that we are becoming an idolater. Our greed is, and our, we are making an object. We can make objects of people, right? And in so doing that, we just want to get something from them, and like a possession that can be discarded. So Paul, very clear, he wants to eradicate this greed. And importantly, he talks later, and throughout this is a theme, especially in 3:15 to 17, not only eradicate greed, but also to cultivate gratitude. It's a very big theme of this particular passage today. And there is a kind of ultimate reason, consequence, if we continue sinning, then the wrath of God is coming. We cannot carry on in our sin. The wrath of God, now God is actively and personally opposed to evil, both evil among his people, Christians, and in his world. Some people have a problem with this idea of God's wrath. They think somehow that God's love on the one hand and God's wrath on the other somehow are mutually exclusive, whereas really they're not. The opposite is true. They're not mutually exclusive. They are simultaneously supportive. Very important point. And God's wrath awaits for those who persist in disbelief. They persist consciously, and in so doing, stockpile sin. There's that, just waiting for you, that wrath, that judgment is going to, just God's patience is the only thing stopping that judgment coming. So now as believers, and the Colossians now as they become believers, professing Christians, they won't be recipients of this wrath because Jesus is going to be there judging them as a substitute. He has taken upon himself the judgment of death. All right? So the Colossians and we can be participants in salvation. We've received Christ, Peter talked about this, and then that transformation takes place. So, some quotes here. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We used to walk in these ways, but now no longer. Thanks, Matt. You can do that. And Peter talked about this new orientation, this transformation of the mind that's taken place. We're now the north. We're now oriented towards Jesus. All right? And we can put off, we can take off that dirty, soiled clothing which has been listed. We can set aside destructive ways of relating and speaking to others. Now he goes on to another list of things that we need to take off, that they're dirty clothing, soiled, that we need to rid ourselves of. All right? It's important we do. The first of those is anger. Okay? And then similar to it is the word wrath or rage. Not the same. Anger is like a simmering, a continuous sort of smouldering anger, whereas rage is like an explosion of anger in words and deeds. We think of Christ clearing the temple. And that was God's wrath, okay? A righteous wrath. James writes, we've been studying James in our Bible study. Yes. Our dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Wrath is best left to God to deal with, right? Because we just muck up. Our sinful nature overwhelms us, and it can be very destructive in our lives, in the lives of the people we love and people we don't love. Next point in the list is malice. Any attitude or action that intends harm. That's what. And this can lead to slander. When we have malice towards each other, that can motivate us towards harming an individual through our words, spoken and texted, whatever that might be. Our language should not be filthy, but it should be edifying, should be building us up, fitting and grace imparting. With the tongue, so this sometimes, you know, if we're on the one hand praising God as we have been doing, and on the other hand we're cursing people who are made in the image of God. James talks about this double-mindedness. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings. We're doing that. And then it goes on to talk about being a spring. How can a spring give forth two types of water? We should be known by the fruit of our spirit if we're born again. This sort of duplicity, double-mindedness, double-facedness, it just sends the wrong message out to people outside the church, and it's so destructive within each within ourselves here. And a part of that is the next thing that they move on to. We must not lie. This is what our previous patterns of behavior were typified by, this dishonesty. We're born with it. Tony talked about here, talking about working with this 7-year-old boy about that. We're just born with that ability to lie, to be dishonest. That's our old nature. Lying ruptures relationships. It erodes trust, and it capsizes communities. We get rid of it. All right? Such devious speech is destructive and characteristic of the old self that we're supposed to put off. That is to say, our unregenerative humanity, or those in Adam living under Satan's rule. We don't live under Satan's rule anymore. Lying must be put away. Must be. Moving on to verse 10. This renewing, I want to hear to concentrate on, this is being renewed. It's a process. This renewal, this cleansing, this sanctification process that's happening. In embracing the grace of God in Christ, the Colossian Christians, us, have stripped off those practices that were part and parcel of their past. Now, we will have urges to sin. All of us struggle with this on a daily basis, right? But we no longer have to live in conformity to the old patterns. We don't have to comply with the old patterns, the former patterns of behavior. If we do, and if we persist in sin, we're making a mockery of God's grace. We don't have a license to sin. Right? We must not make a mockery of sin. To put back on the dirty clothes is what we're putting back on the dirty clothes that we've previously taken off. That indicates a basic misapprehension of what it means to be a new creation in Christ. Okay? The Colossians baptism, our baptism, which is likely intimated in Paul's use of the stripping off and putting on terminology here, right, was to serve as a tangible and continual symbol of the transformation that had been wrought and was ongoing in their lives. Indeed, the Colossians were to experience perpetual renewal. We are too, as new people in Christ. No longer were they to live in the old order, they were to walk in newness of life. We are to walk in newness of life. Now we move on to this idea of not allowing divisions that do exist, differences that do exist. We don't live in a monochrome society, a creation. There's variety. We must not allow these divisions, whether racial, social, aesthetic, economic, right, to destroy everything. Life in Christ transcends these human categorization. They exist. We can't just say they don't exist. Of course they exist. But we are to relativize them, put them in their right place through a godly perspective. There's Jesus ministering to the woman of the well, the prostitute Samaritan. Okay? Then we move on to quickly the second part. We've got to put on this new self. Clothe ourselves. Consciously clothe ourselves, as if getting up in the morning. Choosing what clothes to wear that are appropriate for what we're going to face that day. Okay? Also, being very mindful of these sinful tendencies in our lives. What do we need to protect ourselves from? Consciously doing that. And we get another list of things here, five again, that we need to clothe ourselves with. Compassion. Jesus' earthly ministry was characterized by his compassion and mercy on others. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. He was tired at the time, just wanted a break. But no, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, that evoked this great compassion. Right? When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." The second, kindness, which is a gracious sensitivity towards others that is triggered by a genuine care for people. Paul encouraged people to cultivate this spiritual fruit in their lives. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Galatians, this is a key text, obviously, that we can relate to. Another catalogue of these virtues that he wants us to cultivate in our lives and to allow the Holy Spirit to well up and out in our lives. We must not resist the Holy Spirit. We must respond to the prompts. These sins, we mustn't allow sins of omission. Of course, we must try to rid stuff, but sins of commission, we're not doing enough, are we? It's all very well not doing things, obeying rules, but if we don't actually also obey in terms of what we do and say, there's danger there, great danger. That long list. Then humility. Obviously, Christ modeled this, his incarnation, his very act of becoming human, stepping down from all that glory and becoming human like us, ant-like like us, with a credible, human, humble action. Okay? Riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Or here, Philippians. Patience is one of the virtues later, and I'm trying to exercise it as I struggle with this. All right. Just going to go with it. Yes. Gentleness. There's a quote coming up later. Yes, he rode in, and this is his humility as well, and gentle. He rode in on a donkey into Jerusalem. Yes, I hear you. Stop it. Just going to go away. Right. Yes. And over all that, we are to clothe ourselves in love. The greatest attribute. Love. God is love. God is love. He can only be God love because he's a triune God. You can't have love. It's just not a concept. It's got to be relational. Right? If God was just one person, he would have no object for that love. It cannot be. It has to be a trinity. Triune God. Please move on. Thankfulness. I'm just going to quickly zoom ahead. I want to finish with another image that's linked to clothing. Right, there it is. We're talking about clothing, putting things off. I thought we'd finish with a kind of modern metaphor. Please excuse the mixed metaphor, but it is linked. Have a think about it. I know it's a bit of a stretch. Might not work in all aspects. All right. So we have a washing machine. Front loader. I know top loaders are very popular still in Australia. It's a very large washing machine. Forget the 6 kilogram, 10 kilogram, let's go for 100 kilograms or even more. We're to put ourselves in the washing machine, our dirty clothes, our lives. That's our walk with life. We need water, living waters, the Holy Spirit. Needs to be in the mix. Next, anybody get a... You've probably got your ideas what the next thing might be. Ooh. Yes. Okay, I've got this one as the Word. Logos, the Word. We need to do a lot better. I need to do a lot better at regularly reading the Word to activate, okay, to bring about this cleansing in our lives. Next... There's a gentle cycle. Right. Other clothing. Other people in there. The church. Church family. We need people to rub up against. To help that cleansing process. Right. To help mature us. If we're not in fellowship. Right. We're not going to make the progress that we need to make. We need other people to bear with, to forgive. All right? This is very much about relations. Next one, the settings. We have been transformed. Our minds have been transformed. They're now oriented towards Christ. That's the setting. Okay? All very well, all that being in the machine, but what do you think this one might stand for?
Except turn it on.
Wait. Experiences, life, things that happen that are either initiated by God or God allows to happen in life. Illness, the joys, everything. That needs to agitate and get everything working. Okay, it's very important. Right? Can't explain everything that happens, but it helps the purification process, the cleansing process life does. And finally, I know it's difficult. You don't have to stretch your arm out, your hand out, and turn on the machine yourself. But if you don't, you know, actively, with your will, work with this, if you resist the workings of the Holy Spirit, resist everything, not disciplined in your reading of your Bible, whatever it might be, then you're not going to mature at the rate that you could have matured. Right? There's going to be problems as well. In the church, as relationally, there's going to be problems as well. So, yes, you need to switch on. You need to switch on. And that's your choice on a daily basis. We make a choice when we come to Christ initially. But every single day in our walk, we need to make conscious decisions, mindful decisions. And that requires discipline and our active participation in the whole cleansing process ourselves. Did anybody note the brand label, just to finish up? Ah. Life is good. But it is better in Christ and with his people. Let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you are in the laundry business. Help us make this church and our lives a laundry on a hill, a beacon of hope to those around who have not yet been reborn, who have not accepted you as their Saviour. Help us. We do muck up. We do gather dirt on a daily, minute-by-minute basis, Lord. Help us in this renewing, this cleansing process, so that we may be presented in a good condition, not only in our families, in our community, but ultimately to you in Christ. Thank you.